podcast at Georgetown University, where we are charting new directions in health and development. Where here in our nation's capital, we have our hands on the pulse of global health. We bring you conversations with faculty and leaders in the field. From hearing about research in global health, alumni pursuits, and student field research abroad, you'll experience it all here on the Global Health Podcast. Welcome. This is your host, Bethany, with the Georgetown Global Health Podcast, and today we are fortunate to have Professor and Dr. Jennifer Bowie on our podcast. Dr. Bowie is a social epidemiologist at the Department of International Health, School of Nursing and Health Studies here at Georgetown University. As an epidemiologist with training in clinical medicine and biostatistics, she is interested in behavioral and social determinants of health and in health care disparities among marginalized populations. She has published over 60 manuscripts on the health risks and healthcare access barriers among recent migrants, rural to urban migrants, and people at high risk for HIV. Her research and publications has been supported by funding from the Susan Meyer Professorship Endowment, initiatives on U.S.-China dialogue on global issues, the NICHD and NIDA of the NIH, DC Center for AIDS Research, and Maternal and Child Health Bureau of HRSA. Dr. Bowie developed and teaches several research methodology courses and mentors undergraduate and graduate students here at the Georgetown University. Well, hello, Dr. Bowie. It's such a pleasure to have you on the Georgetown Global Health Podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, we're very grateful that you'd take some time today to share about your work and your research experiences and time here at Georgetown.
Absolutely.
Yeah, our listeners are really fortunate to hear part of your story today. So you are actually preparing to leave for China tomorrow, is that correct?
That's true, yeah. I'm going to give a talk at Fudan University, their School of Public Health, and I'm going to talk about how to use epidemiology in global health and health system analysis, so it'll be fun.
Okay, have you done this before? Have you been at this university or done similar conversations and lectures?
Yeah, this is actually, I'm looking forward to go back to Shanghai. The research team that when I first joined Georgetown, I worked with a colleague, Frank Wong, and we developed all these HIV prevention studies among the migrants. And for that project, we collaborated with Fudan University. So we worked closely with them from 2005 all the way to 2014. But this is the first time I'm going back, not for the research project, but to give a talk.
Oh, neat. Well, that'll be exciting. Can't wait to hear about that in our follow-up here in class. So now you are a social epidemiologist.
Right. I was actually initially trained as a clinician back in China. I was trained as an internal medicine physician. But, you know, at the time I thought, okay, I would love to learn more about population health rather than clinical medicine. So I was trained in the U.S. as an epidemiologist, and I call myself social behavioral epidemiologist because most of the time I work with people who are at high risk for certain diseases. So we pay a lot of attention to their behaviors and also to the social environment that make them more vulnerable for diseases. So that's my research focus.
Okay. So can you tell us what motivated you or inspired you as kind of your path from undergraduate to master's and doctoral to pursue
Right.
This career?
Thank you. I grew up in a family that both of my parents were physicians. So from very early on, I thought that I will be a physician too.
Right.
But during the medical school, I certainly enjoyed learning about the clinical medicine. When I was thinking of a graduate program at the time, I thought, you know, I would like to maybe try something different. And at the time, I had worked with a friend who was in sociology at UPenn, and he came to China to study the mortality trend in a Ming Dynasty. So I sort of had that was my first connection to looking at mortality as a population health index. So when I was thinking about graduate school, I said, okay, I'll try epidemiology.
Okay.
So it's not until I came here I realized that actually epidemiology fit me really well. I love large data sets.
Okay.
I get very excited when I can work on the data set to look at trends and provide recommendations for interventions or policy. So I guess that's my, I started a master degree program in epidemiology/biostat. And then when moving forward from to the PhD program, I focused on epidemiology.
On the epidemiology?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exciting. Now, and you did your advanced degrees at George Washington University, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then from there, did you move here to Georgetown once you had graduated, or
When I was a graduate student at the George Washington University, in the PhD program, I first worked as a teaching assistant.
Okay.
But later on, I was introduced to a research program on HIV at the Children's National Medical Center.
Okay.
So that was actually my first exposure to a real-world research program. So I worked as a research assistant there throughout my graduate student years. And so when I finished my degree, by that time, I already became a full-time employee researcher at the Children's National Medical Center. And I also got a really this wonderful opportunity to collaborate with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau of HRSA to work in their epidemiology department. That's where I have access to a lot of national health surveys. And that's when I started to be to get interested in the health services research among the recent immigrants. So when I become more independent in my research, I focused mostly on the looking at health services barriers, how people get health care when mm-hmm. they first come to this country using national surveys. So that was a wonderful time, a wonderful opportunity for me. So that was before I came to Georgetown.
To Georgetown. Yeah. And now you have been a professor here at Georgetown for 13 years.
Yes, time flies.
Wow. Can you tell us about some of the undergraduate and graduate mm-hmm. courses that you teach and why you think they're important mm-hmm. courses for people pursuing a career in global health or mm-hmm. epidemiology?
Sure. So naturally, I teach epidemiology, and I have been teaching that course for undergraduate programs for 13 years. About 6 or 7 years ago, I designed a course for undergraduate program on research method for global health. So that's the one course I feel relatively original for undergraduate students. Basically, you pack a PhD program in one course.
Well, so for your undergrad.
For my undergrads, yeah. I had a lot of fun to teach that, and the student loved it too. And I also teach epidemiology for the graduate program for sure now, on epidemiology. So I think epidemiology should be like the calculus for any higher education.
Calculus, right?
Much more fun. Yeah, much more fun. So I think when I got into the graduate school with a clinical medicine background, the first course that I had in public health was epidemiology. So that gave me a very strong impression that this is really the foundation for public health and for global health. So this course introduced the very basic concepts and the skills that you will use in many other courses in the research, in the career of global health. So even though I've taught it sometimes multiple times a year, I still think, you know, I have lots of passion to teach this course right. I think this is the building block for a global health career. And over the time, I also see changes in this discipline. Nowadays, in addition to the very basic concepts, I try to also introduce digital epidemiology, how we use epidemiology in increasingly digital world, looking at online data collection, looking at using mobile phones to analyze and collecting data, and to connect that with more of the new findings in genetics and other biological fields.
Yeah. That's incredible. Just, I'm sure you've seen a lot over 13 years as you've progressed in this field.
Absolutely. There's courses. Always something new.
There's always something to learn and something to pass on and teach. Right. So now you're actively involved in ongoing research projects here and, as you mentioned before, in China. In your career, which project has meant the most to you and why?
Well, that's a hard question. I feel that every one of my projects, I feel very passionate about. Yeah. Well, the reason I came to Georgetown and switched from a sort of health services research to a social behavioral epidemiology. There's a tiny little bit switch in my research interest. I came to Georgetown because that there was a colleague here who just starting the HIV research in China. So I joined the research team to study HIV prevention among a migrant population. So over about 10 years, we got multiple funding from NIH and HRSA to focus on what is the best, the most efficient way to prevent HIV's infection among a highly mobile population. So we focus on different vulnerable groups within that population. So I enjoyed a lot because all of these projects taught me not only how to analyze data, but also how to engage with communities, how to reach out to the hidden population, and how to design a survey and also use mixed with qualitative interviews, focus group, to make sense of these data trends. So I think these research projects really helped me to grow to a not just not only focus on data analysis as epidemiologists, but also really use epidemiology as one of the tool to understand human behaviors and the impact of health policy. So later on, recently, we conducted a study in DC area among the low-income African-American women. So one of the questions we try to answer is that the pre-exposure prophylaxis, we call it PrEP, for HIV prevention, has been promoted by WHO and CDC about 2 years ago. This is a relatively new prevention. It's only one of the prevention methods for high-risk population. But we found over 2 years that all the literature shows that this PrEP mostly adopted by highly educated gay community. It's underutilized by women and underutilized by, especially for the minority women.
Right.
So this study, one of the research questions is to see why our low-income, high-risk women didn't enroll into the PrEP program. So we asked questions about, do they know PrEP, and what they think of PrEP, what their concerns are, and we got some very interesting findings. And I think the research helped our community partners to target the population that potentially can benefit from this prevention, and think and understanding their concerns. So we thought, you know, this is a good example of our projects, is to provide evidence-based data, evidence-based interventions at a community level.
Right here in DC, that's exciting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have undergrad or graduate students that work with you in any of your research projects?
Oh, yes, yes. I think one advantage of Georgetown is that we have small classes, and we have lots of opportunity for students to work with us. We every semester, pretty much, I have I routinely supervise five to six students, undergraduate or graduate students, and I invite them to talk about their interest, and I give them an overview of the research process, you know, start from writing the proposal, thinking of the ideas, to implement data collection, to data analysis, to writing reports, to disseminate this work in the community. And the students can choose, you know, which part of the research they're most interested in. And then during that process, they realize, okay, the research is a teamwork.
You can't do this all on your own.
No, nowadays it's always a teamwork. So I had students who are really interested in working in the field, working with our community partners. I also have students who are really interested in data analysis, you know, using R or Stata. And I also have students just wants to try anything and would like to start with literature review on a topic. So I found a great joy for me to work on research is at the same time to teach students
to,
to see how they enjoy these activities.
I guess that was kind of led to one of my next questions. How do you hope to inspire the next generation of global health professionals and maybe those specifically interested in epidemiology?
Yeah, I would like to let them know that this is such a fascinating world. And basically what I teach them now maybe will be obsolete in 10 or 15 years. We see this huge increase of technology improvement. So that's why I think, you know, teaching the specific skills is important, but more important is to for the students to understand the purpose of this work. When they see that what they've done has an impact on the real world, hopefully that passion
it's
will
not just numbers
keep them learning new things. And I also tell them, you know, not just that, but also one of the joy of working in Global Health is to be able to work with many people from different disciplines, different backgrounds. And if you are a people's person, you like to, you're curious about the people that you don't know well, or phenomena you're not familiar with, this is the science that can get you to those great opportunities for exploration.
That's incredible. So is there anyone in particular that you admire or look up to or who has inspired you in the field of global health?
Yeah, there are a lot, many people who dedicated to global health. I think one huge contribution of U.S. to global health is the PEPFAR program. This is the president's special program to support HIV prevention and intervention for the world. So they this program has been here for, I think, almost 10 years now, and has a huge impact on the HIV global AIDS. So I think I hope more programs like that will have such impact. And this, I would say that PEPFAR program, although it's targeting HIV, and nowadays it's really have lots of efforts putting on strengthening the health system, because eventually what we find, lots of the public health issue is not about whether we can treat the disease or we can prevent the disease. It's really about the health system, whether we can deliver the treatment, whether we can strengthen the prevention. So to do that, we need a strong health system. So I do agree with PEPFAR in its approach on these the HIV preventions. So I think many people work for PEPFAR. They have several ambassadors, including Mark Dibo is one of our Georgetown colleagues. He's here at the GUMC. So there are many many leaders in that field that I admire.
That's neat. And now what's next for you? Is there a new research or project that you hope to be involved in, or things that you're continuing in?
Yeah, I found that even though I see some changes of priority in my almost 20 years of doing research, you know, first health services research, immigrants research, and then HIV. But at this point, I actually see them all converge to a theme, which is the looking at the social determinants of health and health services for migrant population. And in this world now, we see increasingly, the globalization prompt, lots of people are on the move. They're either moving from rural areas to cities in many developing countries, or they're moving from one country to another. So to understand this migration and what are the health impact of these migration passage will be one of my my interest. So I will look for the right place and time to implement these research, and hopefully to help all these millions of migrants to have better health to at least when they're pursuing their dreams and their safety.
That's exciting. So finally, if you could give any advice or recommendations to students wanting to pursue a career in this field, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I would say just keep being curious. I believe yeah. that most people coming to Global Health has a passion right. for health, for humanity, mm-hmm. and to keep that passion. At the same time, be curious about new technology, about new trends, and don't feel discouraged easily.
Continue, right?
Yes, there will be back and forth in any political or policy cycles, and you will see some great advantage and maybe occasionally some setback. I would say don't lose heart. Just do a good job at what you can do and keep the passion and hope.
That's good. And do you have any book recommendations for our listeners?
Yes, I do have a few that I often tell my Global Health students. Relates to epidemiology or, you know, in general, pandemics. I know lots of students are interested in pandemics, which is a huge threat to all of us. I would recommend Spillover by David Quammen. That's a book talking about I'm blank on that. Zoologic.
Zoonosis?
Zoonosis.
Right. There we go.
Good students. zoonosis cases. So these are the cases, the disease pandemics that are caused by agents jumping from animals to the human society. And 95% of the infectious diseases belongs to this group. So this book is a very easy to read, very wonderful stories about some of these real cases of zoonosis cases. So that's a fun book to read. I also recommend The Great Influenza by John Barry. It's about 1918 influenza, so we all are quite aware of this year as a centennial mark. This book is not only about influenza. It's also about how the public health field was built in the U.S. So start from the beginning of the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health to the more recent development. So I see, you know, that the influenza is a great story, but also equally interesting is the development of public health in the U.S. So those two are really very much relates to what we do, what we teach. I would also mention two interesting books I would highly recommend. One of them is Sapiens by Dr. Harari. So I think many people have heard of this. This book really taught me how to think about a human society and its history. The other book is The Origin Stories by David Christian. So this is a book not only talking about human history, but also put human history in the history of the universe. So I found it's kind of very soothing at the time because it make me knowing my position and our efforts in this long history of the universe. Coming back to not be disappointed as any setback, make me feel, okay, this is setback is only for a very short period of time. Right. So those are the book I would recommend.
So that's it for today, and I really want to thank you for taking the time today. It's really appreciated for sharing with our listeners and our guests about some of your story and your impact here at Georgetown.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the talk. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Global Health Podcast. brought to you by the Department of International Health here at Georgetown University. We welcome you to learn more by visiting our website at globalhealthms.georgetown.edu or by following us on Facebook at Georgetown University's Masters of Science in Global Health.